Ladies and gentlemen, what's happening now? Tell all the boys you know, we have two editions of Derry Nostalgic in this coming month. And I just dropped a big clanger as to who the second one's with. But if you want to hear a preview to that one, tune in to our coverage of Cork City versus Derry City coming live from Turner's Cross. The countdown to kickoff starts at 7 p.m. and kickoff is at 7:45, and we'll have that preview. But right now, on May 7th of 2025, today marks the 30-year anniversary of the FAI Cup final victory over Shelburne in Lansdowne Road. To tell us all about his own personal elation and relief to finally winning a cup competition and his first trophy of his career is the captain from that day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to get Derry Nostalgic with Dermot O'Neill.
It was a huge personal highlight for me. Obviously, I had played in three cup finals. I think it was 83, 84 with Bohemians, and then 94 with Derry against Sligo. And I think in all three previous ones to the 95 one, we were favourites. Mm. Well, certainly in our eyes, we were favourites. I think with Bohemians, we were playing in Dalymount. We played Limerick and we played Sligo. And both of them, we felt we should have won, but we didn't. And then we played Sligo again with Derry, again beating 1-0. And I thought, am I ever going to win a medal? No mind a cup medal. So that was different. We were going for the league. We'd lost the league on that loan. And I think our whole demeanour was, we're going to win this. It's certainly for Stewart more than anybody. He doesn't miss penalties. Missed a penalty in that loan. Doesn't like to be reminded of it. And that's fine. But it was nearly written in the stars we'd get a penalty in the cup final. And we had no fear. Once we got the penalty, we had no fear. No fear whatsoever that he'd score. Because he's that type of an individual. Puts it behind him. It was a tremendous achievement. It was a tremendous, tremendous highlight of mine. I loved playing for Derry. Absolutely loved it. It was as near to a full-time setup for me. Mm-hmm. For me personally. When I signed, Roy Coyle signed me. Any time we were going through a bad patch, it was never going to work for Roy. You know, because of the situation that was up the north at the time, gladly that's over and done with now. If we had run into a bad time and a bad performance wise and all that, he would get stick. And I think it was inevitable that he would get sacked. He was a good man. I enjoyed playing for him, but I loved playing for Derry. Absolutely loved playing for Derry. It was the highlight of my career. I loved the crowd. The supporters were so passionate and so friendly. Absolutely love playing for Derry.
You did already mention you had three previous finals without winning. Did that history put extra pressure on you personally going into this game?
Well, a cup final, you'll always have pressure in that. But it put me under a little bit more pressure because all my family were there. That particular year, I was at the going through personal problems. The football end of it was nearly, at one stage, was nearly second in my thoughts. We got over all of that and it was a huge emotional thing for me when we did win, for my family as well, because the kids were there as well, and it was tremendous. It was a really special time.
Looking back at the preparations for the 1985 final, were they smoother than what they were the previous year? Because I've always heard stories about the changing room not having any working lights in 1994, and obviously there was the delays to the act day they were going to have the game.
Well, you know what, we're talking 30 years since the 94 one. I don't remember whether the lights were working or not. You see, we were beaten in that game. Mm-hmm. So that's gone out of my mind. I don't remember the lights not working. I remember the goal. I remember very little about the preparations. I do remember Sligo beating us and devastation. Yeah, but you get on with it and you just move on. And you go, right, we'll do it again the following year, which we very nearly won the double the following year, you know. So you have to be professional enough to say, well, look, there's going to be a winner and a loser. Hopefully, we'll be the winner. You learn to cope a little bit easier with defeats, but you learn to block them out of your mind.
I don't think we can talk about the 95 final or the actual campaign without talking about the series of semi-finals. I have to say, Dermot, it is a memory that has lodged in the back of my head, and I don't think I'll ever get rid of it because it was such a marathon way to get through.
It was Bowles, wasn't it? Didn't we play Bowles in the yeah? It was written in the stars for me. It was written in the stars that we could play them and draw with them in Daly Mail, draw in the Brandywell. When we drew in the Brandywell, I was asked to go in for a toss-up to see where we played the third game, and obviously I won the toss. We obviously won that third game. But the two other games, when I was younger, when I played for Bohemians, I played in three marathons, four marathons. We played Dundalk in the semi-final of the Cup, and we played them four times, three replays, and the original semi-final. And then the following year, we played Drogheda three times. So I was well used to it. I did enjoy them games, I have to say. I did enjoy the semi-finals. I thought they were really good games. No quarter asked or given. I thought it was a real humdinger of a game. Anybody could have won it, but we won it. And that was the main thing for me. It was kind of a bittersweet moment for me because obviously they were my club at that particular well, 3 years previous, and they still hold a special place in my heart. So exciting. Felt like the whole country was looking at these games. And it wasn't the coverage that we have now with LOI and all of that and Virgin and RTE and all that. It wasn't that. We were lucky to be on the TV at some stages. But in general, it was so exciting to play in. It was brilliant. Brilliant.
It's crazy too because modern football fans, you know, maybe younger children, don't know cup replays, and we used to sit through two or three replays.
Yeah, they don't. It's finished on the day, and it's a bit of a anti-climax. But I suppose for the purists, they were saying, have another replay because this is great. Players, it was so exciting to play in. We knew we had the better of Bohemians, and I guess they knew. They thought they had the better of us as well, and it was a humdinger. It was really, really special to obviously to beat them in the Brandywell as well was great because the crowd, they're so good, and they still are. You know, they're so passionate. When I was with Dundalk over the last couple of years, the passion is still there. It's just brilliant.
Reflecting on the game itself against Shelburne in 1985, what stood out to you about Derry's performance in that day?
I thought we were very good. I thought we defended really, really well. I thought Peter Hutton was outstanding. I thought really, really good, making them breaks the way he used to make them breaks from midfield before he moved into centre-back. Coyler was just different class, but he was different. People say to me, you know, who's the best attacker you played with or against? And it's him, it's Liam Coyle. It was the best defender I played with. It was Stuart Gold. And that's not because I'm speaking to you on the phone and those guys might hear this. It's not. That's just honestly that it was, they were unbelievable players. Thought we played really, really well. I didn't have an awful lot to do in the whole game. A couple of crosses, maybe one half save. But in general, we defended really, really well when we had to. But we attacked with purpose. We attacked with desire and drive. And that's all you can ask for. And then when the chances arrive, Stuart put it away and Peter put it away. End of story, 2-1, take it home.
Did you deliver a pre-match speech or anything to the team? And if you did, what kind of message did you share with the players before you went on the pitch?
I was always very vocal in the dressing room. But it was never everybody. It's not like the rugby. The captain of the team is instrumental in how they play and all of that. That was about it. Felix was the manager. He was the one who did the pre-match talk and all of that. And he got us going. And he got us going very well. I just added to it. But with a lot of leaders in that team, Coyler, Stuart, Paul Curran, Paul Carlisle, Paul Doolan, you know, we'd loads and loads of leaders. We knew what we had to do. We didn't need to be brought up anymore. We didn't need to make it play the occasion. We just knew we had to go out and play the game. And once we played our game and we were calm and cool in possession, we knew the likes of Peter Hutton would stick a ball in the net if he got a chance, which he did. Mm-hmm. Stuart Gold then got the penalty. But in terms of pre-match chat and all that, no, not really.
Did you enjoy the game?
No, I don't think I did. You know, I think you can enjoy the game if you're winning 6-0. Of course you can.
Yeah.
2-1, cup final. You don't really enjoy it. You enjoy it after it. And you say, oh, that was a good save, or that was a brilliant goal, or whatever it was. Or that was great play. But I don't think I enjoyed the game. I just enjoyed the ending of the game.
There's great parallels between 94 and 95 concerning yourself, Dermot. In 94, there's a famous photograph where your head's in your shirt and Eddie Mahan's consoling you on the pitch. And in 1995, you're the last man to touch the ball before the final whistle, and you bounce the ball off the ground, leap about 6 feet in the air, and then you're getting picked up off the ground. In that moment, what was going through your head?
The one thing that went through my head was, at last, I done it. That was it. That monkey had been taken out my back. That at last I got to a cup final and won the damn thing. The one moment when I caught that ball, I remember where I was even on the pitch, right beside the near post, and it wasn't a cross, and I think it was a bouncing ball, and I caught it, and then Mick Tomney, the referee, blew up, and I thought, well, thank God it's over, and thank God we won it. And then of course the whole thing erupts. Then you look for your family, you look for your kids, and you know. And then RTE were on, and I was holding up the fact that they wanted to present the cup to us and all that, you know. And because I was on the TV with Liam Coyle, it was chaos, but it was brilliant chaos. It was just amazing chaos because we were at the winning. I was at the winning. I know some of the boys had won leagues and won cups, and that's fine. And every time you win something, it's special. But for me, that was the top of the tops because I'd won something. And to add spice to it, I was the captain as well.
Is it an honour to actually lift the trophy, being told, walk you up them stairs first and grab it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's huge. And some people said, oh, you know, Stuart and Paul Curran could have done it. Yeah, they could have, yeah. They could have. I was the captain and there was nobody taking that away from me. It's not an ego thing. It's not. It's you're representing them players. You're representing your manager. You're representing your city, you know. And although it's not a city of where I was born, but I was playing for them. I was representing them. And that was for them. And when you hold that cup up, you're showing it to them and you're saying, this is yours.
Yeah. In the weeks that came after, though, you had left the club. Was that always the plan, or did the cup impact your decision in any way?
No, that was never the plan. Never, ever the plan. I found out I was shortlisted to requirements, let's just say, on the way up to Derry for our celebrations. That's when I found out that the club had been talking to Glenavon. I didn't want to leave, never wanted to leave. But you know what? That's football. That's the way it goes. I can't argue with the whole process of it. Well, I can argue with the process of it, but I can't argue with the result of it. They won the league the following year. So in that respect, the manager was dead right. He brought in somebody younger, possibly for less money. I don't know. But it was a big shock to me, asked to leave. And I think initial reaction was, I'm staying. Mm-hmm. I'm not moving anywhere. But then reality sets in and I thought, I don't want to play in a B team. I don't want to traveling up and down to Derry from Dublin and playing a B team. Now, possibly I wouldn't have, I don't know. That never materialised. I just thought, let's see what Glenavon have to say and have to offer, you know. In that respect, it wasn't a personal decision by Felix, none whatsoever. I accepted that. When I signed for Glenavon, we played Derry in a friendly game, I think, and all was good between me and Felix. I knew it wasn't personal. I just knew it was a football decision. And you win some, you lose some. But I was so looking forward to playing in Europe with Derry. And captaining was a huge honour for me. We move on. We don't fall out with anybody and we just get on with life, you know.